Welcome back to Coffee with a Calvinist. This program is dedicated to helping you better understand the Word of God and the doctrines of grace. The Bible tells us, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of truth. Get your Bible and coffee ready and prepare to study along. Here's your host with today's lesson, Pastor Keith Foskey.
And welcome back to Coffee with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I am a Calvinist. Today is September the 22nd, 2020. And if you're following along in our daily Bible reading, we're going to be reading 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're reading one chapter a day through the New Testament at Sovereign Grace Family Church. And if you'd like to follow along with us, you can go to our website, sgfcjax.org. Go to Posts, and under Posts, you will see our reading list for 2020. Now, today we are going to talk about a subject that has been in the news now for a few days, and I want to begin with a quote from CNN. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died on Friday due to complications of metastatic pancreas cancer, the court announced. She was 87. Ginsburg was appointed in 1993 by President Bill Clinton and in recent years served as the most senior member of the court's liberal wing, consistently delivering progressive votes on the most divisive social issues of the day, including abortion rights, same-sex marriage, voting rights, immigration, health care, and affirmative action. All right, so that is the quote from CNN about the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And as soon as the news hit on Friday, people on both sides of the aisle began to opine. Dr. Albert Mohler even did a special edition of the briefing because this event really has monumental significance in political history. And if you were on Facebook or Twitter on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you'll notice it exploded with comments, memes, articles. Facebook even changed their logo to include a gavel and a collar, which Ruth Ginsburg was known to wear. And so I've decided that I wanted to, on today's issue, talk about this subject because I use this program to address things that I might not be able to or have time to, either from the pulpit or in the classroom. This gives me an opportunity to share my thoughts as a Christian and as a pastor, try to shed some biblical light on current issues, and to give, again, this is my opinion. This show it gives me an opportunity to share opinions and try to share from a biblical perspective why I believe the things that I believe and things that I hold to. And as a pastor, I'm trying to encourage folks to look to Scripture for our answers. And so here are some thoughts that I've had regarding the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice. The first thought that I had as I was considering this is that a woman has died, and a family is certainly grieving. It's easy to forget that public personalities are real people. We should consider the fact that there is pain associated with the loss of someone who was loved by her family. And I'm reminded that just a few weeks ago, President Donald Trump's brother died. And one of the things that I found grotesque was that the opponents of the president used his brother's death as an opportunity to take unnecessary swipes at the president, using his brother's death as a club, as it were, to strike him with. One I remember in particular was a drawing of, I think it was a cartoon of the Grim Reaper, and someone was challenging the Grim Reaper, saying, "You took the wrong brother." And so I saw that and I thought, what a hateful thing and this is something that is par for the course, unfortunately, in the political situation that we find ourselves in today. We find ourselves in a situation where there seems to be very little couth on either side. There seems to be just a willingness to go straight for the jugular, no matter the situation, no matter the pain or the loss. And again, I think it comes down to the fact that we often forget that these are real people and they're human beings. And so my first thought is that as Christians, we should always try to maintain a high standard when it comes to how we comment on the death of particularly our political opponents and the tragedies that surround their lives. I think we have a responsibility to maintain a high standard for how we speak, maintain a high standard for how we behave. I think we are better for doing so. Having said that, I do not believe that we should candy coat the legacy of Ruth Ginsburg either. While we should not be intentionally hurtful or coarse, we should also avoid swinging too far to the other direction and making a hero out of someone who supported things like the killing of children in the womb and the profanation of marriage. And we need to remember, death does not bring justification for her support of ungodliness. And that leads me to the second point, the second thought that I've had as I was considering this, and that is, not only has a woman died, but a soul has entered eternity. And we have no reason to believe that Ruth Ginsburg was a believer in Christ. Her record was one which showed an opposition to godliness and to the things of the scriptures. And we have to consider the passing of her soul as a tragedy, because if she was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't believe that she was, even if she had a religious, some kind of a religious affirmation at some point in her life, I don't think that the things that she supported were indicative of a person who follows Jesus Christ. And so, and I'm not saying I know for certain the condition of her soul. I don't have the knowledge to know that, but I can say based upon the things that she said and she supported, I don't think that she had bowed the knee to Jesus Christ, and I don't think that she was a follower of Christ. And therefore, I have to consider her passing as tragic for her soul. As many of her supporters are lauding her life, it's her eternity which is of greater consequence. One person asked a very sobering question, and some people might take offense to this, but I think it was very thoughtful and really sobering. He said, "What if all the babies that she aided in destroying in the womb were there to greet her at the judgment bar of God?" I mean, I pause to think of what a scene that would be. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a judge in the highest court in the land, but when she left this world, she faced a greater judge than she could have ever imagined. His righteousness is unfailing. His rulings are final. And her position as a powerful earthly judge gave her no authority in his courtroom. In fact, I would argue it just made her all the more responsible for the decisions that she made. She had a lot of power here. She had a lot of responsibility here. She was given a lot of light. Certainly she was educated. But none of that matters when we face the God of the universe. If we face him in sin, apart from his son, and no matter how successful a person is in this life, in eternity, it's all lost if you don't have Christ. We count it all as lost for the sake of Jesus Christ. But it's actually her position as a judge that leads me to where I wanted to get to, and really the maybe even the more substantial part of today's episode is my thought on the political response to her death. Because as much as I think about her as that she was a real person, she was a soul that is now in eternity. And as much as that is something to consider, I think the what really affects us all and why her death is so significant for all of us is that there is a major political response that is going to happen in regard to her death. And I think I want to say this. The political response to her death is proof of what is wrong with us as a country politically. Because the immediate concern everybody has is really not the fact that a woman died, really not the fact that she is in eternity, and that's not what most people care about. What most people care about is the fact that there's a vacant seat, and they want to know who's going to fill it. The left demands no one fills it until after the election. The right wants the seat filled immediately because of obvious reasons, that both sides have a purely political motivation. And we know this because, in part, because the opposite position was held the last time this happened. In the final year of Obama's presidency, he wanted to nominate a Supreme Court justice, and the left supported him, and the right said it was wrong because it was a election year. Now, in this election year, Trump wants to nominate someone, the right supports him, and the left say it's wrong. And I know some will say, well, it's a different situation because Obama was at the end of his presidency. Trump is at what we might say is the midpoint, depending on whether or not he wins the election. But this is one thing I believe is certain. And I think you would have to agree with me, at least in theory. I think that if the roles were reversed, the arguments would be reversed. I think if the president right now was a Democrat, then the Republicans would be saying, no, he should not elect or he should not appoint a judge. And likewise, going the other way, if the president were a Democrat, the Democrats would be saying, yes, he needs to choose one. So you understand what I'm saying. Essentially, we've stopped being concerned with what's righteous. We're only concerned with what's expedient, and we're really only concerned with what's expedient for our side. And there's a sense in which that's always been. People have always been partisan, and being that they support their side, but it's gotten to the point where it's almost comical, if it weren't so sad, that if my side does something, it's righteous no matter what. If the other side does something, it's wicked no matter what. And it seems as if this is the trend of politics always. There's just absolute willingness to assume that so long as it's beneficial for me, it's the right thing to do politically. And so long as it's beneficial for the other side, it's the wrong thing to do politically. And I think that this just points out that very 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 big issue. And as I said, I look at it from the perspective of saying this is a problem on both sides. Do I think that there are more problems on one side than the other? Yes, of course. I mean, I think that ultimately the reason why I'm a conservative is because I believe in certain very foundational things that are non-negotiables, such as the right of babies in the womb to be person, to be understood as persons, and so the idea that I could even think to be on the left is not even conscionable to me because of that one main issue of abortion. And there are other issues, of course, but that major thing. But at the same time, I still see the hypocrisy on both sides. And what's interesting about it is it seems as if this is just people just understand that that's just the way it is. Everybody's going to be hypocrites and say something different than they said before, and no one's going to be expected to hold any type of moral high ground. But there's a more insidious problem underlying all this that I want to point out, and that is this. The reason why this issue is as big as it is, the reason why this vacant seat on the Supreme Court is is as polarizing as it is, in my opinion, is because the Supreme Court has become much more powerful than I believe our founding fathers ever intended. Certainly they were always meant to wield a large stick, but they've gone well past their intended duties. They no longer are interpreters of the law. They are now manufacturers of law. Legislation is supposed to come from the legislature, but in the past several decades, it's come from the judiciary. And therein lies one of our biggest problems. And therein lies why Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat is so important. Because the left knows it can't get its laws through the legislature. It's tried. It gave up on that a long time ago. So instead of trying to get the laws through the legislature, instead they push them through the judiciary. And they know another conservative on the bench will push their agenda further back. Now consider this for a moment. The Supreme Court is more important in the minds of most people than the presidency, because it wields more power than the presidency in what has become the creation of law. And for many, when they vote for the president, they're really not voting for the president. They're voting for who they believe he will choose to sit on this court, because the people know that's where the power really lies. And I have to ask this question. Is that what our forefathers saw for this country to be? To essentially live under the tyranny of 9 unelected lawyers? Because that's where we find ourselves. In fact, I saw this quote in Time magazine. It said, how could it be that the most important decision a president makes is picking one non-elected lawyer? You know, most presidents, if they get any opportunity at all, it's maybe just one choosing of one Supreme Court justice, if any at all. And the question, I think, is right. How could it be that that's the most important? That's why we choose the president? It's because he gets to pick this one unelected lawyer to sit on this one seat that wields way more power than it should in the creation of legislation. So I think, again, not only in the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg do we see the issue of a woman who's died, not only do we see the issue of a soul going into eternity, but we also see that the political response to her death shows a massive problem in our United States political system. Massive amount of hypocrisy and a massive amount of change in regard to the 3 branches of government and what they are supposed to be doing. So, as we draw to a close, considering all these things, I want to, before we close, I want us to consider 2 proverbs. Now, the reason why I chose these 2 proverbs is, it's funny, I've seen Christians on both sides post both of these. And I think it's so interesting because if you read them without context or without considering how proverbs work, it's easy to think that these two might compete with one another. But it's interesting in regard to this subject, because there's Christians who are lauding Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and there are those who are, you know, saying she was a horrible person. And so how are they, what are they doing? Well, this is what they're doing. They are putting up Bible verses to try to support their side. And these are the 2 verses that I've seen. First is Proverbs 11:10. It says, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. And that's the part that's the focus. When wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. And some folks are saying Ruth Bader Ginsburg was wicked for her support of abortion and other things, and therefore we should shout with gladness. But then others post Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. And they say, see, even though she was a person who supported these bad things, and even though she was an enemy of the gospel, we can we should not rejoice at her falling. And so you have these two proverbs. One says the wicked perish, their shouts of gladness. The other say, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And you say, how do we respond? Well, first, understanding that proverbs are intended to express proverbial truth. They are they're not absolute statements. These statements are meant to give general truths that fit within a context. But also, think about this. Based on these passages, I think it's clear that we ought not rejoice in the terrible fate of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, especially when it comes to her eternal condition. The Bible says that even God himself does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel 33:11. And in that sense, neither should we. But at the same time, there is a sense in which we can rejoice that a person who fought so hard in opposition to the things of God has now passed from history. And we can pray that maybe God will allow someone who will stand on his principles, that will stand on his word, will take her place in one of the highest seats in the land. However, no matter what we think about the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we must also understand one other thing. Our nation is on the brink of a massive crisis. No matter what happens in regard to this vacant court seat, there will be political fallout. And recently, political fallout has resulted in physical harm, rioting, mob violence, and even murder. Beloved, my encouragement to you today, stay vigilant and be fervent in prayer. 2020 is not over yet. I'm Keith Foskey, and I've been your Calvinist. May God bless you.
Thank you for joining in for today's episode of Coffee with a Calvinist. Keep in mind, we have a new lesson available every weekday morning at 6:30 a.m. on YouTube and Facebook. If you enjoyed this lesson, please take a moment to respond by hitting the like button, leaving a comment, and subscribing to the channel. On behalf of Pastor Foskey, thank you for listening. May God bless you.